Good afternoon, everyone. At this meeting, we have one agenda paper to discuss, which sets out proposed disclosure requirements on priority of financial instruments on liquidation of the entity. This agenda paper is a continuation of the discussion the board had in April. Inconsistent with that meeting, the staff continue to recommend two sets of disclosures. The staff recommendation for disclosure of the nature and priority of financial instrument claims against an entity are broadly consistent with what was proposed in April. However, based on the board members' comments at that meeting, the staff proposed updated wording for the objective and a revised scope, which includes all financial liabilities and equity instruments in the scope of IAS 32. In addition, the staff clarified what information should be provided. These are set out in paragraphs 9 to 22 of this paper. The staff recommendations for disclosures of terms and conditions about priority of particular types of financial instrument remain the same as what was proposed in April, subject to some clarification discussed in paragraphs 23 to 30 of this paper. I will now turn over the discussion to board members before asking the board whether it agrees with the staff recommendations.
Okay. Who would like to pick this up? Tadeo.
Just a very quick comment. Thank you, Hans. And thank you to the staff for preparing the paper. I support the staff's recommendation. I just want to say that listening to the comments from some board members in the last meeting, I agree with the concern about the meaning of capital structure for the purpose of the proposed disclosure. And I believe with this paper, this staff come up with a very good wording to deal with the concern, and at the same time, keep the disclosure objective in line with what we decided. Thank you.
Jen Chao.
Thank you, Hans. I also support the staff's proposal. I think comparing to the last month's board meetings in relation to the disclosure objective, I think a new disclosure objective is principle-based, but also straightforward. I think it's easy to apply. I just have two things I would like to confirm, you know, with you, whether my understanding is correct or not. Based on the current disclosure objective developed in paragraph 12, and we are focusing on the information about the nature and the priority of those claims against an entity that's arising from those financial instruments. But in my understanding, in practice, I wonder beyond those, the information about the nature and the priority, whether quantitative information still needed to be required or not. Because only disclose those nature and priority, I think seems not sufficient. So in my understanding, based on, why I ask this question, there are two areas mentioned the so-called quantitative information. First is paragraph 6. We said that any quantitative information should be based on the carrying amount of the financial statement. So it seems that if those companies disclose those quantitative information, they should be, you know, based on the carrying amount, or all those quantitative information actually are required. And the reason why I ask it is that paragraph 18 also mentioned it, and what kind, in order to meet this disclosure objective, what kind of information we need to require. And we say it should depend on whether users need additional explanation to evaluate the quantitative information disclosed. So I just want to confirm, beyond the nature and priority, I think quantitative information, for example, those amount of the claims, maybe also should be required, rather than just leave a company to make a judgment. Second, about the basis of those information, whether it should be based on the consolidation financial statement, a consolidated entity, or or individual entities. I still feel a little bit unclear for me is that it seems that our proposal is not built on consolidated balance. It's actually built on those individual entities' basis. And if this case, so that means if the companies, for example, subsidiary, one subsidiary issue a financial instrument, and the parent or other subsidiary within the group acquire part of those financial instruments. So that means those amounts should not be eliminated when they disclose those amounts in the notes. So whether my understanding is correct, because the illustrated example given is that it seems there are no internal transaction between subsidiaries or among subsidiaries or between subsidiary and parent. So those amounts combining amounts of parent and subsidiaries are exactly same as consolidated data. So I just want to confirm and whether make it clear, the basis of those amounts. Thank you.
Yuni, you want to react?
If I may, yes, please. So just on the first question about quantitative information, so when an entity is providing the information that staff recommended in paragraph 7 or also in paragraph 17, the entity will have to distinguish those by amounts, and that amount should be based on the carrying amounts of the financial instrument at the reporting date. So that's what we meant when we said the quantitative information should be based on the carrying amount. And in terms of the second question about consolidated versus individual, so what we are recommending here is that in a consolidated financial statement that entities are not required to provide individual entity breakdown other than the breakdown between the parent and subsidiaries as recommended in paragraph 7. And when that breakdown is provided, it will be post-elimination. So it will be still based on the consolidated balances, but just breaking those between those issued or owed by parents and by subsidiaries. So those will be after making all the consolidated adjustments to arrive at post-elimination balances.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sue?
Thanks, Hans. Firstly, thanks to the staff for bringing this paper, because I think I was probably the most difficult last time in terms of this issue. And I think that your proposals here address the concerns that I raised last time. So I agree with the staff recommendations. I just have one suggestion in terms of how we would communicate this to people using these requirements. And I think that people do get worried about the notion of what subordination means in a group context because of the sort of structural subordination that comes from the corporate structure. And we are, I think, appropriately being fairly simplistic here and really focusing on whether or not from a contractual perspective you're specifically, secured, specifically subordinated. We're not looking at it in an any more sort of complex notion than that. And I guess just to make sure that people understand that and also that they don't somehow get wound up about whether or not they're really meeting the objective of appropriately reflecting the priority of claims given those sorts of more sophisticated concepts, if you like, of subordination, I think it would be good just to say in black and white somewhere that you can meet these sort of requirements, the disclosure objectives, whatever the wording is, by simply aggregating on a group basis things that are, subordinated or unsubordinated. So we're not trying to ask them to do something more nuanced when they get to the consolidated picture. We're just saying, all secured liabilities in a sense are created equal, whether they're in a subsidiary at the parent or in a consolidated basis, just to make sure that people don't sort of get concerned about a level of complexity that we're not asking them to achieve through a relatively and appropriately simplified version of thinking about the priority of claims.
Mary?
Glad I'm coming after Sue, because I think my comments build on hers in terms of how we focus on communicating what our expectations are. First of all, I think, while I don't want to rely generally too much on examples, I think it is very helpful when we illustrate things to kind of reinforce the point Sue was just making about we aren't asking for anything more granular or more complicated than X. Having said that, I think, and I had some back and forth with the staff before the meeting about this, I think in a couple of places where, and I'm thinking of paragraph 8B1, where we say indicate the priority on liquidation, or paragraph 23, when we talk about describing, didn't make a note of what it is we said to describe. I think because those are such general plain English words, we would have, I think we'd have to go beyond the headline to say kind of this is what that means, and maybe some of Sue's comments are that it might be worth saying also what it does not mean. So I don't object to the words, but when I read something like indicate priority, I wasn't sure whether that meant a very high level, generic, not very helpful, or I think what you were actually trying to get to is the, we do not expect you to have done a full analysis and give a definitive legal opinion on the interaction of law, regulation, and legal case history with the terms and conditions of each specific instrument. You know, that's why you were going for something that was more generic. But I think we probably have to spell out a bit more what we mean by words like indicate. And the last thing is, when it comes to financial institutions, I recall that we had a lot of feedback that said your focus on liquidation, what transpires in liquidation, is not as relevant for financial institutions because prudential regulators will stay in, and I'm not going to use the right word, but I think force a type of reorganization or recapitalization. Are we thinking about trying to vary the threshold or the event that you are considering when you develop these disclosures? Or is the staff recommendation that we focus on liquidation for all entities on, you know, let's say for regarding priority, on the basis that your priority, for example, in liquidation is a reasonable proxy for priority in reorganization? And I'm not talking specifically about what's the loss absorption characteristics of a particular instrument, just in talking more generally about the priority in liquidation. So that it wasn't clear to me whether we had any special intentions regarding financial institutions or not.
Bruce?
Thanks very much, Hanson. Thanks to the staff for the paper. I guess just one final comment for me was just something we commented on last time we discussed this. I'm still concerned about the usefulness of the information when it comes to those group situations. I appreciate looking through the examples, industry example that you've given and kind of the breakdown, but my worry is that the understanding of the value of this information would be to try and understand where the risk is. And I guess I worry that when we've lumped everything into subsidiaries, if you've got subsidiaries that are issuing instruments, you don't know which ones they are, et cetera, around that. My comment on it, though, would be, look, I guess what would be interesting is to put this out and see what people say and whether my concern or some other concerns as well around whether the usefulness of those group information has got value, or if the comments we get back is going to be the same thing, that there's just, it's kind of too aggregated and too high level for them to really understand where the risks are. But I think maybe let's wait and see.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? Una, you want to respond to Mary?
Yeah.
Yuni, there is something wrong with your sound. It sounds very comical. It's terrible. We cannot hear you.
Sounds like Donald Duck.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just pull out the headphone at all, completely. Pull it out, because we can't hear you now. Pull out the headphone. Now you have to pull it out, otherwise we won't be able to hear you. Disconnected, yeah, okay.
We know we're in trouble when Hans is giving out the IT advice, right?
But I think we still cannot hear you. Can you say something? No, we don't hear you.
Angie, can you maybe, while Yuni is trying to sort of sound out?
I think I know what Yuni was going to say. We usually have similar thinking. So I think what we wanted to respond to was for the banks, that it's not, we weren't trying to be that general, like to say it's always on liquidation, because we understand like banks will try and avoid liquidation and they'll get to like a resolution or something else. We just want to say that as long as you're giving information about nature and priority, which includes things like if something's secured, unsecured, if there's subordination, and the other one about it issued by the parent and subsidiary, as long as you provide that information. So it's not necessarily on liquidation, like to use the word, the exact, like for the bank, because the bank won't go in liquidation, but as long as you provide information that meets the objective about nature and priority. So the bank might be able to use its existing regulatory disclosures, but it won't be complete because they wouldn't include necessarily all the liabilities that are part of the claims against the bank, and they wouldn't necessarily show like secured or unsecured in those regulatory disclosures. So that's why we're just saying that you can use existing information, but you'd have to try and meet the objective, which would involve more.
But I think just to around that, I don't think necessarily we meant for the banks to use it only on liquidation, because I think for the banks there would be a point before that, and for many corporate entities that are subject to regulations and so on, there would also be a point before liquidation that is more relevant, but it's still capturing the same thing. So I think we say liquidation, but we may not necessarily mean the point of liquidation. It is the breakup process of the entity.
Mary, you wanted to come back? Mary?
You're on mute.
Mary, you're on mute. No, she's not. But you're muted.
Shall I come in while we wait for her to sort it out?
Yeah.
Just in response to, so just building on this topic, perhaps what we need to do is take a look at some of the documents for the banks and see, you know, if they've issued, I don't know, subordinated debt or something like that, what is the circumstance in which that subordination mechanism kicks in? And we need to make sure that whatever words we use capture, you know, what the relevant scenario is that's actually included in the documentation for the banks. Because it all comes back to, we're looking at, from a contractual perspective, how do things work? And that probably would help us work out whether liquidation is the right word or whether there's a different word we should actually focus on to get the right set of information for financial institutions.
Okay. Mary? Oh, she's gone.
I'm back.
Okay.
I caught some of what Sue said, but so apologies if I'm overlapping with things that I missed. I wasn't trying to drive either to liquidation or to resolution as the trigger, and also though I was not focused on the can banks use their regulatory information or not. I think that's a relevant consideration, but to me that's secondary or tertiary. I think what I take away from this discussion is that when we develop specific proposals, maybe what we're trying to say is avoid using the word on liquidation in the requirement that we set. And perhaps though require people to disclose what the threshold or trigger is that's the basis for the disclosures that they're providing. So in some cases, it might be resolution. In some cases, it might be liquidation. And just for clarity around that.
Okay. I guess we are ready to vote on the staff's recommendations. Can I see who supports the staff's recommendations? Okay. Then we'll go to the last item on the agenda for today.